Welcome to Season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Join me with my castmates, Veronica Esquivel Winters, Dave Seidel, and Don Warner on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043. 693-3043 right here on Grindhard Radio. This show is all about spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being. We share stories from our lives and our personal journeys to divine health and wellness. We are not afraid to discuss difficult topics from a dynamic perspective and support you on your journey. No one is alone or forgotten. You are a child of light, and your destiny is great. Tune in to Season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043 right here on Grindhard Radio. Good evening, everyone. That was Jordan Feliz featuring Joshua Luke Smith with Beloved. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 6 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to the phenomenal music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. This 16-episode, 90-minute-long show will focus on spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I will be sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe and why I believe this way, and sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We'll be discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, depression, panic, and so much more. We'll be speaking life into you and your dreams, encouraging your heart, and praying for your every need. I'll be featuring my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors throughout the season. Every episode will be available on iTunes Search, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I am so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you're tuning in from around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional treasure finder. I find the gold and treasure that is already in every person and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my voice, music, creativity, resources, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I'm a receiver and giver of grace. I'm very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. The title of tonight's Season 2, Episode 16 is Life After Depression. That's right. There is such a thing as life after depression. As many of you know, I'm very passionate about mental health and an advocate for this cause year-round. I lived many years of my life in depression, and my castmates are overcomers as well. No matter how long you've been suffering or struggling, there is still hope for you today. You are not alone or forgotten. We have a brand new Life After Religion segment where I interview visionaries who share about their journeys to spiritual freedom. Dave Seidel brought his first Easy Love segment of the season. I have a new Storytime segment. We have a new Who Said That segment. I'll be sharing more words of life, and we'll be taking another celebration break. At the end of every episode, I'll be taking your prayer requests and praying for any additional needs I feel in my heart for you. Throughout every episode of this season, I'm going to be giving away at least two copies of my castmate Dave Seidel's new book, 18 Mile. He is one of my favorite authors and communicators, and I know this book about his life and journey to spiritual freedom will really encourage and empower you. I'll also be giving away a couple other surprise goodies throughout the show. Stay tuned in tonight and follow my Facebook and Twitter pages to see when and how you can win. I'll be giving away fun prizes and gifts all season long. I'm always booking new shows and performances. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my Power of Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at SadeChampagneMusic, that's SadeChampagneMusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going back into the recording studio soon with my music producers, The Quakes, whom you heard earlier on my theme song. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic, GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic, or YouTube.com/SadeChampagne. That's YouTube.com/SadeChampagne.
I'll be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I'd love to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Spirit and Soul or GHR to join in the conversation. To everyone who's already been tweeting me, Facebooking me, Instagramming me, you YouTube, you email me, your support amazes me and I'm forever grateful unto you. Let's get right into our first segment. This is a brand new one titled Life After Religion, where I interview visionaries who share about their journeys to spiritual freedom. We are here with my beautiful friend, Sheila Pilot. Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. What a joy to feature you for our Life After Religion segment on Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Sheila, what's been super cool is I love being able to read your posts on social media and just feeling your heart for others. And that's a big reason why I wanted to feature you for this segment. And I feel that you have so much yummy and amazing things to share with others.
I'm blessed to be here.
So tell us about your relationship with God and when and how it became real to you.
You know, I remember even as a little kid, I always talked to God. But I think, you know, when I was a young adult, I was around 23 years old, God really started to give me dreams. The dreams that he was giving me were dreams of freedom. You know, they were helping me to see myself in a different light because I had a lot of self-hatred and a lot of, I just didn't like myself at all. And so it was like God just began to give me dreams and show me the truth of who he was and how he saw me. And I think that really kind of catapulted me into a greater understanding of who God was. And it helped, you know, obviously when you know who someone is, your relationship blooms from there. And it just, you know, it was, and he did it all, you know. I didn't do anything. I never was a big Bible reader. I never, you know, so there was no striving on my part because I really, I mean, I guess to a point there was because I wanted to please God, you know, so I would try, you know, a lot of times to set myself free because I, you know, struggled with drugs and things like that. And it was like God was just like, hey, you know, it's not about that. I just want you to, you know, be loved, because it's from that love that things will just change.
I agree. And so what do you feel are some of the biggest differences between the God you may have known in religion versus the God you know more now in relationship and through your spirituality?
I would say the God that I thought was God was a voice of condemnation that was always speaking in my head. And, you know, for some reason, I just automatically assumed that was God. You know, that voice, it just beat you up. And I can just remember I'd grab my guitar and I would just sing to God, just my heart, and he would begin to speak to me. But both those voices, it was like a war, you know, because I'm like, okay, that's not the God I know, you know. The God I know condemns me and says I'm not good enough. And so it was like this, I remember one time and I was really high and I grabbed my guitar and I would just sing to God and I heard, my glory is all over you. And it instantly, the next, you know, the other voice chimed in and say, how dare you ever think that about you? That's so arrogant, and look at you, you're high, and, you know, and so it was like this war within my mind, and I put my guitar down, and I just felt ashamed. And the next Sunday, I had went to church, and this little old lady put a shiny shawl over my shoulders, and she whispered in my ear, God's glory is all over you. And it was just like it was things like that that God taught me which voice was, you know, his and which voice was the voice of religion. And that was such an awesome journey in my life of when God taught me, you know, who he really was. And the voice that was really him.
Definitely. And so, you know, it's interesting because I feel like, I don't know where it has come from, you know, but it's, we see it a lot in religion. We see it even a lot in Christianity, that there's like this underlining feeling of unworthiness and undeserving, you know, that people live within, and they don't realize why that, they don't realize that that's a large reason that causes so much low self-esteem and also like a lack of confidence and a lot of depression and mental illnesses in people. You know what I mean? Because think about it, if at the core of someone, they believe that they are unworthy of loving, that they are not deserving of the very, very best, and that they're just, you know, meant to die or go to a hell, a fiery place. It's like, what does that do for a person, you know?
Exactly. And I dealt with a lot of depression, you know, because of that voice that was constantly speaking to me of, you're not good enough, you're unworthy, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you know. And it was just like, God, it's so cool because in my every conversation I've ever had with God, he has never mentioned any of that stuff. That was all lies that, you know, in my own, you know, how we perceive God to be, that is not true.
And people tend to forget that Jesus says that he did not come to condemn the world, you know, that he came, and he did come to judge, but he judged us as righteous. He judged us as his, you know, as the ones that he loves. And so people, they tend to forget that, and then they don't even understand that a lot of words, you know, in the Bible, or even things that Jesus said, don't mean the same thing as our human words. You know, it's like even with judgment,
exactly.
Like God's judgment is, you know, making it's making things right or making things plain known that it's beneficial to everyone that's involved. It's not, you know, basically condemning or, you know, looking at someone else as they are the evil one. It's like that's not how God sees things. So I think wording is definitely huge as well.
Exactly. This is what I always. God always confirmed his voice, you know, and that is something that we have to kind of awaken to. And, you know, God speaks to our heart just so much love. And he uses other people to come in and confirm that voice, you know, that says, oh, my gosh, God just spoke that to my heart, you know. And I love that about God. He always confirms the word that he speaks to our hearts.
And one of the things I love too is, and I share with others, is that when you know God for yourself, when you know your faith, your spirituality for yourself, when you know Jesus for yourself, people can no longer manipulate you. They can't control you. They can't try to push you into fear, because now you know the truth. And so whenever someone tries to say something, you already have that resounding truth within your heart that says, no, that's bull crap. And, you know,
exactly.
You are not
going to
fall for it.
And you're not tossed to and fro. You know, how people get tossed to and fro of, well, this or that or this. And God, he establishes us on that rock of truth. And it is such an awesome place to stand, you know, and be free and, you know, kind of like the Sound of Music when she's on the mountain, you know. That's how I get that feeling, like,
I love that image. And so, Sheila, how do you deal with people who disagree with what you believe?
Well, you know, that is has definitely been my own journey, too, my own learning. And because, you know, sometimes people can really say some very hurtful things. You know, I've been told I'm going to hell. I've been told all kinds of stuff. But, you know, and those things are hurtful, you know. But, again, when you're established in the truth and you know what God says about you, you know, the people that come against you or it's just kind of like an annoying fly type thing, you know. It's like, do it away and keep moving. But, I think we all have different perspectives and we all see things differently. And it's a beautiful thing because God showed me one time, he said, like, we were each a piece of a puzzle that, you know, when joined together made this beautiful picture. And so it's good that we think differently and that's good. But when someone just because they don't the same way as you, they attack you and say, you know, mean things to you. That's not good. So, but it is a growing process, because sometimes you just want to tell them right where to go. You know, it's,
you want to be like instead okay. of spending so much time focusing on myself, focus on yourself.
Exactly. Sometimes fool me, honey.
Exactly. And I'm sure you agree with this as well, Sheila. If we get to the end of our lives on this side of Earth, and the impossible chance that we are wrong with what we believe and we were wrong the whole time, we would much rather, wouldn't you have much rather lived the way we are living now, believing what you believe now, living in the hope, joy, the peace, the courage and confidence that you do now, than living your life how we used to live it in so much fear and so much depression and anxiety, and then you get to the end and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even have to live like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like I would take this any. I believe in it so much, and I'm sure you're, you know, similar as well. We believe in it so much that we would take this all the way to the end, then going back to how we used to think and live.
Amen. And I'm so thankful, what God has done in my life. And again, it's all been Him. And I think that's what, you know, religion always makes you think that you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's not, you know, God always, sometimes I'm like, God, you know, I remember because I have a promise and that I hold on to that God has given me. And one day I was just fed up. I was like, God, I've been holding on to this promise for a while now. And I know you're faithful because you granted that last promise. I said, but this one, you know, sometimes you get that impatient. I said, is there something I need to be doing? And he said, yeah, kick back and enjoy the ride. Like, I'm right there. That I can do.
Right. Definitely. Sheila, what has been one of your greatest setbacks or hardships in life, and how did God's love help you to overcome that moment or that time in your life?
I would definitely say self-hatred, you know. It caused such a severe depression in me. And it's almost like this heavy weight of hopelessness, you know. And it was like you'd have good days, you'd have bad days. I had days where I didn't even want to get out of bed because it was just so hard to face my life, you know. And I didn't know how to fix it, and I didn't know how. And it was just like I'd rather just sleep the days away than live. And, you know, when God gave me my first revelation, it so set me free from depression. And because I was so, you know, the revelation that God pretty much gave me is He said, Sheila, instead of holding on to these things that your struggles or your battles or whatever it is, just give them to me and trust me. I got you, you know, and I don't condemn you and I don't judge you. Just give them to me. And I, you know, I will set you free. And so it was that surrender of just like, God, I give it all to you. And I'm not going to strive to fix these things. I'm not going to worry about these things because they're not mine to worry about. They're yours. And it was that release. And that is really when I began to walk out of darkness. Is when I gave it to Him. And my life, I just saw, it was like, you know, all those years I tried to get my life right and tried to get everything together. And I remember being younger, and I mean, I'd drive by houses and it'd be like, everything looks so perfect. And I'm like, man, why can't my life be that way? Because I really struggled with this, I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect to be loved. And, you know, it was just like, why can't I just have a normal life? You know, why does my life have to be so crazy? And why does it, you know? And when I gave it to God, it's like all of it, slowly but surely everything just started to fall into place. And it wasn't perfect like I expected that it had to be. And I'm so glad it's not. I'm glad that life is what it is because it's an adventure. You know, an adventure is something that's exciting and something that You know, sometimes you go through some some places that are a little rough or whatnot, but you make it through. And you know, God always says it's those things. You know, He said you can have a you story or you can have a God story. Mm-hmm. It just matters who you're trusting in. And I have so many God stories because I gave it to Him and I trusted in Him. So I look back and I just see that self-hatred, in my life today is totally gone, which is so awesome.
Wow.
Because it's one of those things that when you despise yourself, you slowly self-destruct. You know, you just make bad choices for yourself, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And I'm just so glad that I stand in that freedom and I love myself, who I am. And, you know, even with women, we have such a, we when we look in the mirror, we want perfect, you know, everything's got to be perfect. And
mm-hmm.
I think the older I get, you know, and I'm 42 now, and the older you get, your body changes, you know, you
mm-hmm.
can't lose weight like you used to. I mean, mm-hmm. and I remember it was like, oh, I probably should, you know, go on a diet or da-da-da-da-da. And it was like God just showed me. He said, Sheila, love yourself just as you are, you know. And I think that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was so quickly how God set me free from that. Because that
mm-hmm.
probably was the most recent thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just that image that is put before people of perfection. And God's like, you're beautiful just the way you are. You know, you don't have to change anything. If you, you know, it was that same mindset of, I got to change that. And God says, no, you don't. You just give it to me and you keep trusting, you know.
Mm.
And so that's what's cool with that self-destruction. When it's gone, it's so easy for us to not go there again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we know that truth. We know that God says, you're loved and accepted just as you are. And I want
mm-hmm.
you to love and accept yourself just as you are. And when you receive that kind of love, you begin to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
not take on those burdens.
Powerful, Sheila. And I love what you said, too. This is a very powerful truth, that when you despise yourself, you will slowly begin to self-destruct. That is huge,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they are directly connected with one another. The way that a person
mm-hmm.
feels about themselves and how they believe that God feels about them and how they will live their life and the choices they make and, you know, and how they think.
Yeah. And people need freedom from that. And they need to, because, I mean, again, I mean, half the time when I was younger, I was always high, you know, 24/7, unless I was
mm-hmm.
sleeping. And
mm-hmm.
God was speaking and working in my life, even in that place. And that's what, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people that are stuck in religion can't see that. They think if you're
mm-hmm.
that way, then God's going to just, you know, not be around you. Well, that's how religion might be, but that's not how God is, you know. And I
Amen.
Remember asking God, I'm like, God, please set me free from this. Please set me free. And he
mm-hmm.
always kept saying, I'm going to use it all for my glory. That's all he would ever say. And I remember when
mm-hmm.
when I went to that place of complete surrender and just giving it to him, he didn't, you know, completely set me free from my struggles. He
mm-hmm.
set me free from the lie that I had been believing. He set me free from the burdens
mm-hmm.
I had been carrying. He set me free
mm-hmm.
from those things that were hurting me. Those were the main
mm-hmm.
things that were hurting me. And they, you know, it was kind of a cause and effect situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was those
mm-hmm.
lies that I was believing. It was those things that I was carrying that was causing the havoc in my life. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like he set me free from getting high. He set me free from the lie. And then slowly but surely, things begin to change.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right, because it's like God wants to deal with the root of the problem, not the outward manifestation or the fruit. And so as God is able to heal the root of the tree, you know, then our leaves and our, you know, flower, you know, the branches and everything, we grow, you know, as we've been tended to, and all the things that have been holding us down begin to fall off. And so I think that's incredible. As we wrap up our time together, Sheila, do you have any final words of encouragement and wisdom that you'd like to share?
You know, I saw this quote one time that says, if a flower doesn't bloom, you don't change the flower. You change the environment that it grows in. And that's really what God does. He doesn't want to change the flower. He wants to change the environment of our thinking and change it to where we understand how loved we are. And from that place, we bloom in love. In that place, we grow. In that place, we flourish. And that's, you know, that's the heart of God. He wants that for each and every person, you know, because I totally believe, you know, kingdom life is abundant life. It's blooming in love. And that's what God wants for each and every person, not to be tormented, not to be depressed, not to be hurting themselves, but loving themselves just the way they are, because that's how God loves us. And that's the most powerful thing on this earth.
Wow. I just want to thank you so much to my beautiful friend, Sheila Pilot. And you guys have got to check her out on my social media. I'm going to link her in, which you will have seen already as I've been promoting the show, so you guys can check out her post. She is raw and transparent and so hilarious and also very encouraging and loving. And so I want to thank you for taking the time to be on our Life After Religion segment on Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio, Sheila. And thank you for being who you are. I honor you, and I cherish you, and I continue to celebrate you every day.
Amen, and I love you, sister.
Love you.
Our next segment of the night is story time. This is where I share stories from my life. People can argue Bible verses and theology with you all day long, but no one can take away what God has done for you. I want to share with you about my journey to life after depression. I'm not sure exactly when my depression started. I think that I was very young. I remember in my childhood going through a lot of trauma and a lot of hard times, and I believe that that is when a lot of my depression started. I went in and out of it, though, and because of the fact that I was a perfectionist and overachiever, I could always mask the deep sadness and pain that was in my heart. You know, as I share my story often, Jesus revealed himself to me as a little girl around the age 4. So when everyone's like, when did you first receive Jesus, or when did you first know about God? I always feel like I knew God. Like, I feel like I always had spiritual awareness and connection ever since I was young. I cannot remember a time in my life when I didn't have it, even when I was depressed. And so Jesus revealed himself to me through dreams and visions that I'm living today and that I believe I'll be living in the future. And I believe that Jesus showed me these dreams, and through the dreams spoke to me that no matter what I went through in this world, no matter what challenges or hardships that I was facing, that God would always take care of me and make a way for me, and that there was a greater reality to my life than what I was experiencing as a little girl. So I just always knew somehow, some way, that God had more for me. And it was hard, of course, at times to hold on to that when you're in and out of depression, but I just knew that was a core part of my being. And, you know, when we go through challenges in life, when we go through trauma, when we are in difficult circumstances, when we're not in the healthiest environments, it speaks a word to us. You know, it makes us feel less than. It makes us feel tired, exhausted, and weary. You know, we also begin to compare our lives to others. All these toxic things and negative emotions that just make us feel so bad and miserable, you know, and it can make life feel unbearable at times. I remember at times in my life where I just would hope to go to heaven, you know, like I always was hoping for the afterlife and wishing for the afterlife because there didn't seem to be anything in my present, or I was always hoping for the future. I could actually never enjoy the present of my life because it was felt like hell on earth. The things that accelerated my depression were my beliefs about God, because I no longer believed in the God that I knew as a little girl. Through a lot of religion and horrible theology, I began to believe crazy things about God that just really broke down the trust and the relationship. You know, I was taught all kinds of nutty things, you know, that God is the one who caused my abuse and pain and everything I went through in my childhood in order to make me a better person and so I could help other people, you know, and that I was being punished and or that I was chosen or, you know, I had to get it together and do these things. Just, the list was long. I was taught to be afraid of God, that I was more like a servant and God was my master. This, like, slave mentality that's horrendous as well. And those different beliefs about God, and in addition to a lack of mentorship, just really began to break down my inner being. You know, that's why I'm such a huge advocate of mentorship and having the right, or at least one person around you or somewhere, whether even if it be through social media or through YouTube, of where you can be listening to, watching, reading, receiving the truth, at least one person somewhere who can be sharing with you and reminding you of who you are in Christ. It makes a huge difference. Because I didn't have the right spiritual mentorship, I didn't know a lot of times where to go. I was only relying on my intuition. And honestly, as a child, I'm not saying intuition isn't great or that we don't know God for ourselves or, you know, whatever, but you need people to be able to mentor you. You're a kid. You can only do and so much. And even as an adult, people need, we were created to be interdependent, meaning that we can function on our own and be who God has created us to be and be confident and secure in that, and also live in community with other people, in relationships with other people. So with my beliefs about God, my lack of mentorship, also internalizing my emotions, especially shame and guilt, it just accelerated my depression and it just made things even more challenging and just, you know, felt like a never-ending cycle. And sometimes you're feeling good and other times you're not feeling good, but you're always trying to hope that things will get better. And it was too much, too much. The good news, though, is that God brought me out. God did not allow me to just be in that depression and in that anxiety, panic, paranoia, and fear for the rest of my life here on earth. God always had a greater vision for me. God always had a greater plan for me. It says in Jeremiah that God talks about, you know, to us that he has plans to prosper us. He has hope for us and a greater future. God always has the best in mind for us. Even when life doesn't always look like the very best, what God has for us is always great and amazing things. So God began to renew my vision. God began to give me a vision again of reminding me of who I am and whose I am and what God has always wanted for me. And I remember God speaking to my heart, and I got to a certain place, honestly, where God was like, Sade, we're not moving forward in any of the dreams, any of the plans and purposes that I have set in your life until I am able to heal and transform your perspective of me, your perspective of yourself, and your perspective of others. I've had it. Enough is enough. I can no longer allow you to be the way that you are. I can no longer allow you to be in this death, depression, pain, and angst that you are. It's too much. And God just began to really set my life in motion in a totally different direction. Through my environment, God really began to light up my environment and bringing people into my life who could encourage me and uplift me in ways I had never experienced. It's not to say I didn't have people around me who loved me. People in my life loved me the best that they could and the best that they knew how. A lot of times we have to understand that people are doing the best that they can with what they know and what they have and with what they believe. So this is not to speak down on anyone who has ever been in my life. God has utilized so many amazing people in this world and throughout my life to be able to help me be who I am today. And I'm forever grateful unto every single person, whether it be the best situations or the situations that were not the best. I'm still grateful because I see people from a deeper place than just what's on the outside. So God began to bring key people into my life who could speak his life to me and show me who God really was, who can show me correct theology and correct belief system that would bring life to me. And I began to have new beginnings, and it just changed
everything. It's like God changed up the game, and I'm so thankful. And I begin to hear the right message. I've been in grace now for 5 years exactly this month, and my whole life has gotten better and better. Of course I still feel pain. Of course I still feel sadness. Of course I still will have fear that will try to come to me and experience all kinds of emotions, and I still go through challenging times in my life. But the difference is now I always want to live, and I always have hope. I still have joy, even in heartache. I feel God healing me simultaneously and sucking up the pain. I had to make that sound for you guys to know, literally like it's like a suction cup, sucking up the pain as I'm experiencing it. So the effects of things are not the same way that they used to be. There's a difference in life when you feel like you're alone, when you feel like you're abandoned, when you feel like you're misunderstood, versus when you're going through something, but you know that you know that you know that you are loved by God, that you are chosen, that you are eternally forgiven, that you are never forgotten, that God is with you, in you, and for you. That changes up the whole game. It even changes the way you look at pain and your circumstances. You're not looking at things the way that you used to or thinking about it in a perspective of destitution and despair. So now as I'm living my life after depression, God has helped me to remain in joy. That has been one of the greatest gifts I have ever received. I have so much joy in my heart. I'm learning how to articulate these things because, as I share with you all, it is very possible, because we are dynamic beings, that you can be experiencing pain in your heart and still have joy and peace. Only the grace of God can do that. Only the grace of God can help us to work with the tension of those emotions. But the difference is that joy is deeper. The joy is deeper, and it just really begins to frame the view of everything that's happening in our lives. Imagine being able to see your life through eyes of joy, through eyes of peace, through eyes of confidence, where every day, every afternoon, every night, you are aware and conscious of how treasured you are by God, how loved and valued you are, that someone feels you and is with you and is connected with you and the very core of your being. There's no greater feeling. And religion could not do this for me. Religion could never do it. They gave me the best that they could offer, and it was never enough. It always left me hungry and thirsty. But what I have today, and the freedom that I have in Jesus, and the freedom that I have in God and God's Spirit, changes everything. I want to encourage every single person who's listening right now, whether you're listening to the live broadcast or you'll be listening to this in the future, there is more to your life than this moment. God has not left you in the darkness or with whatever you're going through. God is wherever you are. At every moment of every day, God is healing your heart and restoring your life. God is working to bring peace to you, to help you to see clearly, to work out things in your favor, to speak life to you, and speaking in ways that you can understand and you can hear it, bringing people your path who can encourage you and uplift you. God loves you so much. And if God can bring freedom to my heart and my life and to my cast with the type of disarray and exhaustion and madness we were living in, God can do it for anyone. There is still hope for you. There is hope for you.
We're going to end this story time segment with one of my favorite songs. Here is Lincoln Brewster with Made New. At every moment of every day, God is continuing to heal your heart and restore your life. You will never be left behind. Keep listening to Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grind Hard Radio.
You're calling me over, you're pulling me close. With love you surround me, you give me hope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're taking me deeper, you're making me of you.
Our next segment of the night is Easy Love with Dave Seidel, joint published author of his new book, 18 Mile, speaker, blogger of God Needs New PR, and Christian rap artist who graduated from Caris Bible College in 2016 as he shares the gospel truths which has transformed his relationship with God from hard work to easy love. Hashtag easy love to ask him questions and join in the conversation.
All right. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave Seidel, and the segment I'm going to be doing is called Easy Love. So I appreciate you guys tuning in, and thank you, Sade, for the opportunity to share with your audience here. It's an honor to be able to minister to them and fellowship with you and your other castmates here on another season of your show. So thank you very much for that. Just wanted to start by giving you guys a little bit about my background. Just briefly, and just FYI, if anybody's interested in learning more, I recently wrote an autobiography called 18 Mile, where you can read more about my background there. But 18 Mile, that's the street that I grew up on, from the Metro Detroit area. I grew up Catholic and then moved to Chicago when I was about 25 years old. And fell on some pretty hard times, and that's when I turned to God. You know, that was during the Great Recession, 2007-2008 period. And, you know, when I was getting to know God, I mean, those times were tough for me in a lot of different ways. But as far as my relationship with God, it was real easy. But unfortunately, after being in Christianity for a few years, things started to get a lot harder as far as just my relationship with God. I mean, there were more expectations. I felt like I wasn't doing enough, and I, you know, was basically living a life filled with labors and toils. And that's exactly what the word in the Bible means for evil. Okay, it's a word, paneros, and that word means to be filled with labors and toils. Okay, so I had a good heart. You know, I wanted to do good. But, you know, because of the way that I was taught and grew up, you know, I just felt like I needed to work for that life that God has freely given us. And, you know, like I said, it's a shame, but unfortunately, this is the experience that most Christians go through. And so, you know, I just wanted to share with you guys some things that really helped make it a lot easier for me. And, you know, hopefully that helps you guys out. But, I ended up going to Bible college and graduating last May, in May of 2016. But it wasn't until the last few years of going to school that I actually started to learn about the real gospel and real grace, in my opinion. And that was because a friend of mine had introduced me to the teachings of Greg Henry and Bertie Britz. You know, I was just really blown away at their teachings and thinking to myself, like, man, why have I not heard this gospel before? So, you know, I was a little offended at first, but I knew in my heart it was right, and everything just seemed so effortless and so easy and almost too good to be true. And that's, you know, what the word gospel actually means, the nearly too good to be true news. So that's where I wanted to start the season out, by just giving a brief overview of what the true gospel really is. You know, and I know it's a little bit controversial, but, you know, I just ask that, especially if you've grown up in the church. You know, if you haven't and this is the first time you've heard this kind of teaching, then praise God. I mean, you'll probably be much better off. But either way, you know, I just ask that you kind of listen to what I'm saying here and ask God about it. Don't just write it off because it's contrary to what you might have heard in the past, you know, and just FYI, you know, I don't have any agenda here except to help people get to know God better. I'm not trying to build a big church. I'm not trying to get you to give me some money. All I want is for people to know the truth. And it took me a long time to get here. I'm not saying I know everything, but, you know, there's definitely a lot of research and time in my relationship with God to get to the point to where I'm at. So it's not something I just learned overnight. But this will really bless you guys if you open up your heart to it. And the example that I'm going to give is from Bertie Britz, and it's just a beautiful explanation and analogy of the difference between what God had in mind for his gospel and what people usually hear. And the thing you'll see is that the gospel is not a hard thing that we must work. It's just something that God has done for us, and it's something we just simply receive. And it's a big difference, all right? So this is what Bertie would describe, I think, as the gospel inside family dynamics. All right, so here's what he says. Imagine a father has two sons. The father is in America preaching, and his sons are home overseas. The father sends one son a message and tells him, "Son, I've got great news for you." In the meantime, the son is at home and sins. He decides one day to get drunk and takes the car and wrecks it. Then the father's other son comes home and says, "Dad is very upset at you." All the while, the father's not actually upset, just thankful his son didn't die and thinking about how the thing that he promised him is going to bless him so much. Then the other son says, "I think you can do some good things for Dad to show how sorry you are. If you can do some things to show Dad how sorry you are, that'll make Dad happy. But even if you do, Dad is still going to beat you because you brought shame to the family name. You'll need to be punished." Then the other son says, "I spoke to Dad, and he said he's going to beat somebody else for you." You know, and just imagine how the first son feels now. The son will feel bad because he's caused someone else to get beaten, and he'll think his father is an angry man, always conscious of all these bad things. The other son says again, "Dad can give you the promise if the other one gets punished and you can do all these good things. Then Dad will give you the promise." Okay? Then Dad comes home and finds his son, who wrecked the car, scared of him. Okay, he's hiding under the bed and won't even look him in the eye. And here's the narrative that follows. Father says to the son, "Son, what's wrong?" "Son, well, I know you're mad at me." "Father, I've never been angry. I'm just glad you didn't die. I will do anything that you'll not have to go through that turmoil over again." "Son, but Dad, what about the other guy you had to beat up?" "Father, son, I'm not beating up anybody." And the son says, "Wow, that's good news. But what must I do so that this forgiveness remains?" And the father says, "Nothing." Okay, so in this story, the father is God, we're the son, and the other son represents religion. All right, and now after the father has removed all the rubbish that the other son was trying to indoctrinate the other son with, he says, "What is the good news that the father had in his heart from the beginning?" Remember, there was a good news that he had from the very beginning that he wanted to tell his son, okay? And after we remove all that, you'll find that the good news is the eternal life which God has promised from the beginning. And here's a few scriptures that I could say to just support this and describe what it means. Titus 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Another one is John 17:3. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The word "know" in the last scripture in the Greek is genosko. One of the definitions is a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, and this is kind of illustrating the type of intimacy that God has called us into. It's not a casual knowing, but a deep intimacy with Him. And so that's our objective on this earth, is to really get to know God this way. So don't get it twisted. You know, a lot of churches, and again, it's not that they're bad people, but it's just very easy for us to make it all about the ministry and the things that we're supposed to be doing, as opposed to just simply keeping the main thing, which is getting to know God, okay? This is what easy love is all about. It's just getting to know God, letting his life flow through you. So that's just the main thing that I want to get across here in this first segment. Hopefully that blesses you guys. Feel free to let me know if you have any questions or comments. And we'll be back soon with another segment of Easy Love. So thanks for listening, guys. God bless.
Our next segment of the night is Who Said That? This is where I feature message clips from my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors. These clips are also another reflection of what I believe. Tonight's clips come from my dear friends, inspirations, mentors, pastors, and favorite speakers, Greg Henry and Bertie Brits. I titled these clips, The Proof You Matter and Knowing God for Yourself.
But one of the things that the wisdom of the world does is what can happen in the heart of the human being is that we all desire to find evidence or proof of our significance. We all desire to find our lives born from the place where we can believe that we matter to people, or that we've made a difference in somebody's life. or that because we've made a difference in somebody's life, that can be the evidence that our lives are significant or that we have value in our lives. So we're always looking to see, did I make a difference in this world? Did I make a difference in people's lives here? Did I do something that my life mattered, that meant that my life mattered? It's like we're always looking around wanting to believe that we've actually done something that mattered in this world, that mattered to people. Now, this is a subtle trap, guys, that can keep us on the hamster wheel of life where we'll always be laboring and in bondage to try to do something that can convince us that we are of significance, or that we can do something that can convince us that we matter in this world. Well, listen, man, the evidence that you are significant, or the evidence that you matter, or the evidence that your life is of value, is found in the fact that the Father of all glory, the Father of lights, God Almighty Himself, has spoken a word in Jesus to each one of you that He couldn't envision eternity without you. And so you matter to Him. You make a difference in His life. Glory to God. Your significance is defined by the one who couldn't see His life without you. And so if you want to know if you're significant, or if your life matters, or if you have value, don't look for it in the things in this world. Don't even look for it in your personal relationships. But look for it in the one, or from the one that has spoken a word about you in Jesus, that says to you, you matter to Him, that you're significant to Him, that you have value to Him. Not because of what you can do for Him, but because of the life He envisioned being able to share with you, where He could be Father to you, and you could be son or daughter to Him, and He can serve you with His life. Glory to God. You see, and what can happen is, you know, we say it's only men that will have the midlife crisis, right? Where we get to the point, we look around, and we think, what did it all matter? Did I even do anything? But I think that happens to every human being, and we're always looking to find evidence of our significance. You need look no further for evidence of your significance than Jesus, who represents what the Father thinks about you in heaven. And in the same way God couldn't see His life without Jesus seated on His right hand, God can't see His life without you seated at His right hand. Therein is the proof that you matter. Therein is the proof that you have significance, that you have value. It's found from what God has said about you, glory to God. You see, once that can get in your heart, you can be set free from all the lies that the world tries to tell you about who you are. And then you can walk through life with a smile on your face, living from passion, instead of living in bondage to a system of always trying to do something that can be good enough that you can say, ah, now I have value. Look what I've done. That's bondage, man. That's a life of bondage. That's a life of laboring and toiling, trying to live by the sweat of your brow. That's what God told Adam was a cursed life. It's a cursed life, guys, to try to do something to prove your significance or your value or your worth. It's a much better life to just rest in the fact that you mean so much to the Father in heaven that you'll spend the rest of your days here trying to wrap your mind around His good opinion of you. And you'll be so blown away by His good opinion of you when you stand face to face with Him. And you think you're going to be blinded by His glory. But when you find that the glory that shines out of Him towards you also comes shining out of you towards Him, it's going to blow your mind. And you're going to be so overcome with His love that tears of joy will come down your face. And you'll say, my goodness, I am significant. My goodness, I do have value. Hallelujah, I do matter. I mean, what better person is there to matter to than God, right?
If you want to see light break forth from scriptures and from darkness in your life where you don't know which way to go, go and sit and study out how good God is and let Him have that goodness directed towards you, and your ears will be open to hear what God's saying. There's no other way. He's going to goodness you into hearing Him. There is no other way. I promise you, there's no other way. If you ask me, Bertie, what's the will of God? I don't want to shock people, but if you want to ask me, Bertie, what's the will of God for you? What is God's voice to you? I say what I think and what I want to do. because he's come to live in me. Now go and be pampered by the news, and go and be pampered by stuff that lies to you about your value, where you don't feel loved and all those kind of things, and that will bring forth desires in you, and that will tell you, and then you will make your own willpower available on how to bring it forth, and you'll have thoughts born which will tell you what you must do in your own willpower. The thing works both ways. So, in conclusion, be very careful to be under any doctrine or any place where the goodness of God is not continually magnified all the time. You must come to the point where you say, my goodness, I don't know, you know, I cannot even number all the good things that God has done. You know what, Bertie, there's scriptures in the Old Testament that says this and that. Skip them. If we need to be pampered by the goodness of God, skip the verses about hell and fire and torture, man. My goodness, we've heard that too much. Can't we come to scriptures like God is a savior, love, kind, friend of sinners, don't condemn the woman caught in the act of adultery, that he is love and can never be anything else, that God's eyes looks at us and he wants to set us free from what kills us, that God became a human and took a human being and put him in the Trinity forever so that he can forever behold man in perfection, and that that Jesus is actually your high priest talking about you. My goodness, why can't we come to a place where we behold that day and night? Yeah, but Bertie, that verse says, I don't care. Every verse in the Bible must first come past Jesus to get in my heart.
Amen.
Finished. I don't care if it's a theologian, I don't care. And I don't want to say it arrogantly, but I want to tell you truly, not in an ugly way, but I don't care. You can have a theologian with many doctor's degrees, with everything, with scripture upon scripture, line upon line, whatever. He must take that and put it right next to Jesus that loves on a woman that didn't even confess her sin.
Yep, come on.
And if that all that studies contradicts what I see here, I'm rather going with what God showed in Jesus.
Amen.
End of it. And I'll rather say, I don't understand these verses now, but I know these verses correctly understood will never contradict this.
Our next segment of the night is Words of Life. This is where I speak words of affirmation over you, your dreams, your loved ones, and your life. We will be featuring this segment with new words of affirmation every single episode, because with all the cynicism and pessimism that tries to drown us, we can afford to hear the truth as often as possible. I believe in the power of words because I have seen negativity, criticism, and discouragement tear people down. I have seen encouragement lift people's spirits and alter the very course of their destinies. What we hear and listen to are what will be birthed in our hearts, and it will definitely affect what we believe, think, and feel. Play this as many times as you need to and allow yourself to just soak in not only this segment, but the entire episode. You are the best investment you will ever make.
I am not a project or machine that needs to be fixed or worked on. My doing comes from my being. All my transformation and growth comes from my heart. Even on my worst day, God is still proud of me. He is constantly at work in my life, bringing everything and everyone together. He is restoring all that I have lost. I am a gift. I am a gift to God, myself, and this world. I may have been a surprise to my parents, but I was not a surprise to God. He has always wanted me and longed for me. I am not an accident or mistake. I am worthy of unconditional love. I am worthy of being cared for. I am worth fighting for. I am a beautiful person. My face is perfect for me and my body is perfect no matter what size I am. Even though I am stunning on the outside, my true wealth lies in my inner being. I radiate kindness and compassion. I give from the overflow of my heart. I love from an unconditional and healthy place that can't be hindered. Jesus has gone before me, illuminating my path and life. I am going to be more than okay.
My struggles and challenges do not define me. I am defined by who God says that I am. He says I am His. He says that my destiny and life in Him are greater than any calamity I could ever face. I am an atmosphere changer. I carry joy, peace, love, grace, and hope with me wherever I go. I light up every room. I am not threatened by other people's success. What's for me is for me. What God does for one, He can do for another. My custom-made journey is uniquely my own. I do not delight in someone else's suffering. I only empower, inspire, and uplift. I am confident. I am secure in my heaven-made identity. Every day, insecurities and fears are being healed and delivered from me and my life. I see everyone through the eyes of Jesus. I do not judge others and I do not judge myself. I am strong and compassionate. I live with an open heart and a sharp mind, and I do not close off myself to people and the world. I no longer internalize my pain. I share my heart with God and my loved ones. I am brave, courageous, and free enough to get help when I need it. I am a champion of hope. I am anchored in grace.
Now I want to take some time to pray for you and your family. I'll be doing this every week. I believe in the power of prayer. God hears even the prayers and things we don't say. I want to stand with you and your loved ones for every need and care in your heart. If it matters to you, then it matters to me, and it matters to God. He is constantly at work, bringing everything together, healing you, and restoring your life so that you will transcend every and any kind of struggle you could ever face in this world. All right, so I have received some prayer requests via my social media, and also I know there are people who are tuned into the show right now, and if you want to chat with me live on air, if you need prayer, if you need encouragement, if you've been feeling down and out or discouraged, if you're struggling with depression, which is what we've been talking about tonight, feel free to press the 1 so I can see that you want to chat with me in the studio, and I would love to pray for you and encourage you, and then you can just keep listening in. And I'm going to pray for everyone anyways. Just looking through my social media right now to make sure I have everyone. All right, so the first one that was sent in to me, this one is anonymous. And if you send me a private message, I'm going to assume that you want it anonymous. And if you want it to be, if you don't mind if we share your name, let me know that as well. So this prayer request is anonymous. It says, "Hi, sis, I trust you are well and doing good. Thank you for the invitation of prayer. I just feel such an overwhelming tired in me. Sometimes I just feel so confused in the household that I'm living, and I don't know which way to go. Sometimes it feels like I am just existing but not even living." All right. Father God, I thank you so much for this precious sister of mine. I thank you that you are the God who helps to bring healing to us in every area of life. I know what it feels like to be tired and exhausted, and not just physically exhausted, but to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually exhausted from people around us that are draining us and situations that are draining us and circumstances. I thank you that even right now you are fusing her with your hope and your strength. I thank you that even right now you are speaking life to this precious girl's destiny, and that you're reminding her that whatever she's going through right now can never define or determine who she is or stop the great things that you have in store for her. I thank you so much that even right now you're bringing encouragement to her heart and her spirit, and you're reminding her that her destiny in you is so huge and valuable and precious. I thank you so much that you are just bringing healing to her life circumstances, and that you, whatever it's needed, if it's funding that she needs, finances, she needs a new home, that she needs to be able to stay somewhere that's safer and less frustrating and where she doesn't feel drained, thank you that you're opening up doors for her, that she will be able to have a home, that she will be able to stay with other family or friends, and that she will not have to worry in her house. I thank you so much that you're just bringing peace even right now in Jesus' name. All right, and this next prayer request is for Trisha, and she says, "For my dream job ASAP," and she wants to work in interior design. So
Father God, I thank you that you are the God of dreams. You're the God, the reason that I'm even here today and the reason that I'm able to live my dreams and to be able to see the things you've put in my heart to pass. And I just thank you for Trisha, that you are opening the doors for her to be able to live her dreams and to be able to do what she loves and to not feel like she's just at a job, but that she can begin to have a career choice. Thank you that you're opening doors for her and that you are providing for her whatever is needed in order to move to the next place in that dream. If there's new people that she needs to meet, if there's a new place she needs to go to, if there's even a restaurant where you're going to introduce her to someone, whatever it may be, thank you that you are opening those doors for her. And in the meantime, I just speak encouragement over Trisha's heart. I speak hope and joy into her mind, into her soul, that she's able to rest in your goodness and know that regardless of what it looks like right now, that you're always up to something great for her, that you're always working out things in her favor and bringing things to pass for her life. In Jesus' name. All right, I'm looking to see, has anyone else sent any other prayer requests? Like I said, anyone who's listening, if you have prayer, if you are in need of prayer or you need some encouragement or uplifting, if you want to share about a dream that's been on your heart, whatever it is, feel free to press 1 so I can bring you into the studio and you can share it and I can encourage you, pray for you, whatever you need. Or if you want to message me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, I'll be able to see it from there as well. All right, so we're just double-checking. So I want to pray for the needs that I feel in my heart that everyone has been feeling. And it's the same thing that I was praying for everyone for last week as well. I just want to be encouraging everyone, and I'm praying for you all, that whoever has been experiencing fear gripping your heart with so many things that have been happening in our country and world politically and with things with the environment, I know it can be so easy to have fear rise up in our hearts and to feel like we don't know which way we're going to go, and we begin to now start living from that place of fear. I want to encourage you that God is a solid rock that we can stand on. I lived in so much fear in my life. I've been sharing it with you guys throughout this month with different things I've been struggling with. But one of the biggest fears I used to have all the time is of what's going to happen in my future and, you know, and wondering what my life would be like and seeing, like, you know, so much violence and things that were happening in our society. And I used to be scared that there were things were going to happen to me and that people were going to want to hurt me. It's just literally the list is long. And so if you've been struggling with fear today, if you've been struggling with that and just not knowing what the future is going to hold, I want to encourage you and remind you that God has a great future for you, regardless of what things may look like in this world and what's happening. And I just want to pray right now for all the tension, the political tension, and for even within the environment, all the things that have been happening within our society. I just speak peace over everyone. Thank you, Jesus, that you're opening up the doors of communication, that we can begin to speak more and we can begin to listen more. And we will speak with an open heart and listen with an open heart. I thank you that you're beginning to bring cultures together, that instead of people being separated and being against one another, but that you can bring us together and that everyone can feel loved and cared for. I thank you that people will not have to feel that their voice is unheard and that they don't matter, but that they will know through you that they have always mattered. And thank you that you're softening people's hearts. I pray for wisdom for our government, that they will have wisdom and begin to, for the people who do not care about the people, that you, for the people who are not caring about our country, that you will begin to soften their hearts and they will begin to see that we are all here to be able to serve and help one another. I thank you that you're just awakening them to your love and your grace, and that everyone is just, you're just bringing a total transformation to everyone's hearts, and we're going to be able to see a different climate shift. We're going to be able to see more positivity, more encouragement, more hope, and more love being shared, and that people will feel bold enough to do that. And I thank you that it's just going to create a beautiful domino effect. And even for our environment, that these storms and people that are dealing with the fires in California, that you are just drying up those fires, drying up the fires and the storms, and we will be able to have more level weather in Jesus' name, more level-headed weather and not feeling as if we don't know what's happening here. And most importantly, thank you that you are bringing peace to every single person. You're bringing peace to our hearts, peace to our minds and our souls, and reminding us that you're always with us and for us in Jesus' name. Another segment we'll be featuring every episode is called Celebration Break. This is where I'll be sharing testimonials from my life and ones that you share with me. If you ever have anything exciting that's happening in your life, some good news, answer prayer, whatever it may be, let me know. Make sure you message me or email me or contact me, whichever way you know how, and I would love to share it on the show because when you share these things, they encourage people. There's power in encouraging one another and sharing with people how far you've come. And as I share with you guys all the time, I think it's important to celebrate every victory along the way, even the little ones. So some of the cool testimonials that have happened in my life recently is I'm learning how to work through negative emotions much more quickly. When I dealt with a lot of times in my life, because I used to internalize emotions, when I started to actually feel, I felt like the negative emotions were just so overwhelming to me. And I just would be like, if I felt angry, oh, I was really angry. Like, it's just like the most angry thing. And it just was festering up in me. When I was sad, I was most sad. Like, everything was just such extreme measures. And it's been amazing to see as I've been in grace and I've been realizing, like, man, God is helping me to learn how to process through negative emotions much more efficiently. Meaning, I feel upset, like I share with you guys, and I feel sad and all those different things, but it's not to the point anymore where you feel like the emotions are taking over you. I'm sure you all can relate to that, and you felt that before in your life, where you feel something and it's like it's taking over you and it has a life of its own. But I'm so thankful, like, I feel a lot more emotionally stable, and that means I'm able to process through things, and I feel it, but it's no longer taking over my life. Because, you know, unfortunately in our world, a lot of people think emotionally stable means you're like the same emotion all the time. And I'm like, that's not possible, because we're human, so we feel things. So it's healthy to be able to feel, but it's in how we process those things. And everyone comes to that place, or everyone starts growing in that at their own rate. You know, we're all on a different journey, but we're here to support one another. So I want to encourage anybody who's been struggling so much with your negative emotions to know there's hope for you, and it does get easier, and God will begin to help us to be more level spirited and being able to process through those things. Also, I'm a lot more easygoing and not so high strung. That was another thing. And especially that happens a lot with people who have dealt with abuse or abandonment in their childhood like I have. You feel like you deal with being really high strung a lot of times because you're like on edge. And I lived a good portion of my life on edge and high strung a lot of times. And you don't feel like you can relax. Like, you're just always anxious and your heart's moving fast and your mind is racing even when you try to go to sleep. And I've been feeling a lot more easygoing and not so high strung. Like, I'm just like things that would just like make me so bothered and would just get me so frustrated. I'm like, you know what? God, you got this. Or somehow I'm like, you know what? There's nothing I can do about the situation, but I'm not going to allow things to disturb my peace. So I just feel so much more relaxed. And so that's been super cool. And lastly, I've been receiving a lot of testimonials from people on my social media who have been greatly encouraged and helped by my videos, and they've been sharing with me how they watch my videos every day, and it helps them to stay encouraged when they're going through tough times. So that really inspires me, and that keeps, you know, me moving forward in these things, because I'm like, man, there are people who are being blessed by it. Because usually when I'm posting stuff, as I share with you guys, I'm doing it for myself because I'm like, man, this is something I really need to hear. And I think somebody else will be able to relate to it too. And then come to find out, it's like people are being encouraged by it. And so I'm super thankful for that. And to be able to see people that message me and comment, you know, that video really touches them, that they're glad to know somebody else understands them, that they're glad to know that it does get better. And so it's just been super cool to experience that. And so I want to thank you guys for being a part of the Celebration Break. And I can't wait to hear your testimonials and be able to share those with our listeners. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 15 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grind Hard Radio. Thank you to my music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce theme song and for singing background vocals. The music from my radio drop is actually by one of my favorite artists in the world, India Ari, and I took the instrumental from her song, He Heals Me. Thank you to my castmate, Dave Seidel, and special guest, Sheila Pilat, Bertie Britz, and Greg Henry. Thanks to Grind Hard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Our final song of the night is Christina Aguilera with Keep On Singing My Song. Your story is so beautiful and worth telling. Even the chapters that don't seem worthwhile are still important and will be restored. Next week is our God Is Not Your Enemy episode. We are going to go all the way in. This is such a vital truth. that is key to our health and overall well-being. I'll be sharing a new story time segment. Dave Seidel is bringing a new Easy Love segment. I'll have another New Life After Religion segment, Mythbusters and Who Said That segments. I'll be sharing more Words of Life, taking your prayer requests, and another celebration break. Plus, we'll be giving away more prizes and gifts. Thanks for listening to the Season 2, Episode 16 of my new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and I'll see you next Monday, October 23rd at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Grindhard Radio. This morning with a smile on my face.
your spirit.